Nehemiah chapter 5 and verses 1 to 5. This is the start of a section that I might call Poverty and Bondage. I could think of another title along the lines of Troubles Never Come Alone. Poor Nehemiah, he seems to get one trouble after another. It started in the book of Ezra. You remember that the Jews had come back and to the Jerusalem, to Zion, and yet the trouble there was that they saw that many of the Jews had married pagans, breaking the law of God that Israel should be separate. And there was that harrowing experience in the book of Ezra where they had to deal with these marriages and the sorrow that that caused. Now, here we meet Nehemiah in a similar problem. He's having the enemies around him. They're building the walls. They've set up the system of the guards and everything else and working at the same time. It's a real struggle. And then what happens? A complaint arises from among the Jews. It seems to be, we don't get all the background here, but it seems to be that there was a group of wealthy Jews who had been imposing heavy burdens on the poorer element. Now, the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. So some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Others are saying that we had to borrow money to pay the king's tax. They had taxes to pay. They were hungry. They had to sell their land and so on. Although we are the same, you know, they had to pay the tax on the fields and vineyards. Although we are the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, we've lacked the money and we've had to borrow money. Yet we've had to subject our sons and daughters to slavery to meet the interest rate. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. We don't know all the facts, but clearly there was the question of the poor and the rich. You get this in the New Covenant too with James chapter 2. A rich man comes in, a poor man comes in. And there was also, we know, from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, chapter 2, verses 16 and 19, there was blight and famine in the crops. So it was a hard time. There was blight, there was famine, there was the king's tax, there was hungry, and the people had to go into slavery to get food and to get money in some way to live. It was a heavy interest they were paying, no doubt. And the fellow Jews are extortionate, robbing their fellow Jews. And the children are made into slaves. They lost their land, they lost their respect, they were hungry, they were desperate, and they wanted restoration. And Nehemiah calls for this. This is what chapter 5 is about. There was repentance, there was reformation, yes, but it wasn't perfect. You see, these people had come back, and it all looks very wonderful. Ezra had sorted out the marriages, but there's still problems going on. There was cruelty, there was harshness, there was a callous, unfeeling hardness about these people. Is it really true? You see, sin and corruption and evil is so deeply ingrained in us. It's so rooted in us. It pervades everything. It's so insidious. None of us are unaffected. Let's be clear today. Sin gets through the doors and into the hearts in Buckingham Palace, in the White House. But it also gets into the slum or the ghetto. None of us are exempt. Number 10 Downing Street knows what sin's about. It gets into churches. James chapter 2 is not written for no purpose. Sin is no respecter of persons. The corruption, the cruelty, the extortion. No wonder the New Testament is continually urging us to love one another. Remember John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples and that you're wonderful evangelists. No, in that you have love one for another. On that text, you know, don't we all founder, my brothers and sisters? I feel it. Paul writes to the Galatians, do good to all men, especially to the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. You remember in Matthew 26, verses 21 to 25, Jesus said, well, one of you is going to betray me. You know, I think the question we need to ask, is it me? Even Judas asked that question now. Am I the one? Oh, God, deliver me. Search me, oh God. Know my heart, Psalm 139. Search me, know my heart, test me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, any bitter, callous hardness. Show it to me and give me grace to wash it in the blood of Christ and root it out of me. It happens amongst disciples. Look at these Jews, they're building the temple, they're building the walls, they're putting on the gates, and yet there's this cruelty and this agony within their families and amongst themselves. Can this be true of churches? Can it be true of us, my brother and sister? Oh, what a challenging thought is this. It's not a very pleasant discourse, is it? It's not a very pleasant chapter, is it? But it's honest, isn't it? It's where we are. God give us grace to see it. The problem is raised to Nehemiah. He doesn't shirk it. He faces it, as we should go on to see. May God give us grace. To examine ourselves and to look to the Lord for repentance and reformation and cast our care upon the Lord, but turn back from our sins and walk in a better way, more Christ-like, for Jesus' sake, for the glory of God and the witness of the gospel. Amen.